Yeah, I was holding on for you. We're ready to begin.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for taking some time today. This is Wes Allen. I'm chair of the Government Relations Committee, and we run Capitol Hill Day with Bruce and everyone from National. We're excited for this year's Capitol Hill Day. If you don't know, it looks like we will have extra time with Senator staff, in part because the Congress will be out of session that day, which, it turns out in the past, works out sometimes very well because we can spend much more material time with members of the Senator's staff, and we look forward to doing that this year. For those that have joined us before, thanks for coming back. For those that are new, we'll walk through briefly in our, well, it should take hopefully less than an hour today, to go through the process for you to schedule meetings, and we'll talk about that logistically with Bruce's help. We'll get some good tips. We have Maria, I mentioned, with us, who will be a incoming president soon, but she also has been a great active person for Capitol Hill Day and give you some tips. Also, do we get Ben Brodsky on the phone as well?
I'm on.
Oh, great, Ben. So Ben and Maria will give everyone some good tips for those that have done it before. And then Bruce and I will talk through.
I got to jump off at 4:30.
I'll be sure to hit your mute button, everyone. We'll go through the FBA policies that we'll be discussing this year, and what will be coming to you next, and which obviously will be setting the appointments. That's the next key thing over the next couple of weeks. So with that, we'll have you have questions. Hold those to the end, and then we'll answer anything else you might be wondering about. But thank you for doing this. I'll begin by saying Capitol Hill Day is one of the great achievements, I think, of the FBA. There's really no other organization set up where you can have community leaders from almost 50 states show up and talk to senators and their staff and congresspersons and their staff about matters for affecting the federal judiciary. And no one is a better advocate, not Bruce, not me, not anyone, compared to each of you when you go speak to your own senators. And they always listen. And we'll get you informed so you can speak intelligently about the matters that will be of interest to them, especially now. If you follow the news, obviously, there's an opportunity to have a great many new judges with every new president. That's the case. President Obama had quite a few judges we helped get through, and now we'll do the same with this administration, hopefully. So we'll begin with Bruce going through the scheduling of Hill meetings and the logistics. Bruce does this with various groups, but we're glad to have him help us here at the FBA for our Capitol Hill Day. So with that, Bruce, why don't I turn the time over to you?
Sure. Thanks, West, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for your participation, either as a first-timer or as a veteran advocate in conjunction with FBA Capitol Hill Day. I'm going to talk very briefly at the top here with regard to the schedule for the day, and because I know Maria and Ben have some time constraints, I'm going to shift over to them after just a moment to talk a little bit more about scheduling Hill meetings, as well as their advice from the many times that they've done Capitol Hill Day in the form of practical tips. But particularly want to draw your attention to the schedule for the day, which is on page 2 of your packet. The fact that just as at the mid-year meeting, our base for operations, where most of the participants for Capitol Hill Day will be staying, will be at the Capitol Hilton Hotel downtown, which is a short cab ride or metro ride away from the Russell Senate Office Building, where we'll gather. You can have some coffee and continental breakfast before we convene at 9 o'clock for some last minute details. A lot of the substantive preparation for your meetings, insofar as the material that you want to cover and the points you want to cover, we will cover both today as well as in additional materials we'll be sending to you prior to Capitol Hill Day, some additional talking points and some other materials that we're waiting to receive, particularly from the Judicial Conference and the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts. But we'll be gathered there from about 9 to about 9:45, so that those of you who have meetings on the Senate side, You can schedule them as early as 10 o'clock because that should be relatively nearby to where we'll be doing our kickoff. And then you have until about 3:30 that afternoon for your meetings. Lunch is on your own. There are also some details that have been sent out to you by headquarters with regard to the availability of a tour at the United States Supreme Court in a meeting with the court clerk, Scott Harris. We ask if you do take advantage of that opportunity to please let that be secondary to your principal purpose of meeting with members of Congress or their staffs during Capitol Hill Day. But we want to finish up for a debriefing at the end of the day. We always find it helpful to exchange with one another the feedback that we've gleaned during the day. Right now, we had tentatively scheduled that debriefing back at the hotel as we did last year. It looks like we're going to have some logistics and room availability constraints, so we may have a different location for that debriefing, and that may well be held on the Hill just as our kickoff is. We'll be back to you on that. But that's the shape of the day. You certainly have adequate time to be able to do at least two meetings with your Senate staff and with the staff of your House member or additional House members. I would, before turning it over to Marie and to Ben, for more advice on scheduling meetings, there are a couple of points that I've suggested to you there on page 4 of your packet. With regard to scheduling, I particularly would suggest that you try to avoid zigzagging back and forth across Capitol Hill for your meetings, to try to perhaps do your Senate meetings in the morning back-to-back, and then either have lunch or proceed over to the House side and do your House meetings over on the House side. That way, then, you don't have that back and forth, which can take up time and eat up your day. Also, given the numbers of attendees that we have, and it's great that we already have 59 registrants for Capitol Hill Day, some of you are from the same state, and we encourage that the meetings with both House and Senate offices occur only once. To that degree, we strongly encourage people from the same state to coordinate with one another to name a scheduling leader so that you're not making multiple requests for the same meeting or seeking multiple meetings with the same congressional office. So use that information that we shared with you in the spreadsheet that came to you today with not only the names of folks from your states, but also their contact information. Try to arrange among yourselves who's coordinating the meetings and who's carrying out that scheduling so that we have an efficient operation. And, of course, you all are responsible for scheduling your meetings. FBA National would like to be kept apprised of your scheduling efforts, but we ask you to schedule them in coordination with other chapters from the same state. And I'll be happy to take any questions later on near the end of the call, but in the meantime, I'd like to turn it over to Marie and to Ben to talk a little bit about their impressions from the past and what they have found particularly helpful and constructive that made Capitol Hill Day a very value-added opportunity. So, Marie, do you want to kick it off?
Sure, thank you. So I just want to start out by thanking Wes and Bruce, because Capitol Hill Day is by far one of my favorite days in the Federal Bar Association. They just do a wonderful job, and if you're coming for the first time, you're going to have a great day. The energy of being on the Hill, along with the causes that we're lobbying for, will make it a worthwhile and memorable day. And as Wes said, I've been coming to Capitol Hill Day since its inception several years ago, so I've got some helpful tips for you. First, I highly recommend that even if you've been to Capitol Hill Day before, that you attend the morning prep session. It's very important to be briefed on the issues, and it just makes the day, you know, easy. You know exactly what you want to say to your senators, and it's just great to also meet with the rest of the people from your state and go from there. Talk to people from your state that are going to Capitol Hill Day, and I suggest designating one person to reach out to schedule meetings with senators and congressmen. I would not wait to reach out. I would do that now. It can take several weeks to get an answer, so you may need to follow up. And also, if you reach out early, oftentimes they'll have more flexibility in their schedules, so there'll be more times available for meetings, and you can do a better job of planning your day and spacing out your meetings. In setting your schedules, you want to leave enough time for travel between appointments. Make sure that you block out some time for lunch. Bruce always provides some great options at the prep session. Also very important for everyone, but especially women, please remember to wear comfortable shoes, low heels or flats, or at least if you're going to wear high heels, bring comfortable shoes to change into so that you enjoy the day. Also, check the weather. You may need a coat or an umbrella, and if you have some downtime, you may want to do some touring, perhaps visiting the Supreme Court or a museum close to your next appointment. But you're going to have a great time, and thank you again, Wes and Bruce, for all of your hard work.
Great. Thanks, Maria. Very helpful, and particularly, you're going to be doing a lot of walking, so be sure to wear comfortable shoes. I want to underscore that. Thanks, Maria. Ben Brodsky has included in their materials, and I apologize, Ben, that it looks like it, not everything was quite included from margin to margin here. We'll try to resend that perhaps as a Word document so that folks may be able to use it a little more easily as well. But there on pages 6 through, 12, looks like, are some materials that Ben and others from the South Florida and Broward chapters have used in the past as a chart to best schedule and stay on top of their scheduling arrangements. Once again, this year, I added up, looks like they'll be bringing at least 7 folks to Capitol Hill Day. So we thought it was useful for all of you to not only see this kind of a product that they've used, and feel free to steal the best ideas, but also to have the opportunity to hear from Ben today about how best to use and schedule meetings. So, Ben, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I'd say, Bruce, you lost all the magic when you didn't do the formatting right, but I'm just kidding. No, it looks like everything that needs to be there is there. And I guess, this is really just more of an administrative or organizational exercise in anything, which is how do you get 5 or 6 people or however big your cohort is to coordinate with a bunch of very busy elected officials and their overburdened staff. It can be quite a juggling act. So last year we circulated this by email. In retrospect, it may be better to set up a Google document or some kind of other open source document that everyone can access easily online and then update. And then really it's just a question of identifying the representatives and the senators and then dividing up amongst your group who's going to be responsible for contacting which office. Obviously, if there's a personal connection with any of the representatives or senators, the easier it's going to be to call in a favor and get some time on the schedule. And I can't emphasize enough, you must look at the map and coordinate your meetings geographically proximate to one another, because otherwise you're going to be literally trying to cover miles of ground in minutes, which is impossible. And you'll be late to the meetings, which is obviously not something you want to do when you've weedled your way into one. So you know, it's really just a question of setting up the chart, splitting it up, and then getting in touch with the scheduler for the representative or the senator, calling the representative or the senator directly if you have that level of access, and coordinating those times of the meetings. As far as substance goes, you know, in our experience, the best and most productive meetings we had were with the representatives and senators, in which we identified the committees that they were on that would impact them. And so if we had, you know, whatever the case may be, if it was a courthouse question, the building of a courthouse, you know, we wanted to get to the representative who had was on a committee where that would, you know, affect his or her agenda and interest them and sort of target what we were saying to the representative or the senator to make sure that what we were saying just didn't kind of float off into nothingness. So those are my tips.
Very good. Thank you. Before we lose you from this call, Maria and Ben, I know you have to drop off at 4:30. Wes, would it be okay if we open it up for any questions or comments from folks about scheduling while we've got Maria and Ben with us?
Yes, let's do that. In fact, thank you again, Maria and Ben, for your great tips and ideas. You've done this a long time, and we all learn every time something new. But let's do that. Any comments or questions for Maria or Ben while we have them?
Ben, I see that you have 30-minute appointments. How long do they typically take, 20 to 30 minutes? Do they go over? What's your experience?
I guess it really depends on what level of conversation could get going. I don't remember any lasting longer than that because the representative and senator's time is so limited. You know, they usually have a scheduler or an assistant lingering right outside the room ready to shoo you along so you don't run over because they have things scheduled to the dot. So I don't recall any lasting longer than 30 minutes, and I think we had to, you know, we even did it building in enough time to be able to move to the next office if we had something scheduled at the next half-hour block. So, you know, 15 to 20 minutes was usually what we were asking for, and that's what it was limited to.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
This is Bruce. Just to add to that, as West had underscored earlier, the fact that our Capitol Hill Day this year will occur during the congressional recess means, one, that it's unlikely that we'll be meeting with many lawmakers, but two, to the extent that judiciary-related staff are there, that is, staff on their own personal staff who handle matters concerning the judiciary committees, that sometimes those staff actually have more time than they otherwise would have during a non-congressional recess period when Congress is in session. So still, 20 to 30 minutes, I think, is still a good guide. There have been times when meetings have actually run a little bit longer than that, when they've been not, you know, during the recess, as these will be. But that's still a good guide that Ben has laid out there, and that's sufficient really to cover the main points that will there's three or four major areas of attention that we'll be devoting our time to.
Any other questions?
This is Rob. Can I just add a little to that? If you do meet with a lawmaker, be respectful of their time. And so, you know, when the meeting comes to its natural conclusion, you know, it's a good idea to not linger, so to speak.
Great comments. We will have materials for everyone, too, and you will always leave something behind, and we'll talk about follow-up afterwards. I will make one other comment, too, and that is for those of you whose senators in particular are members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, those are by far the most important meetings we'll have. So if you're, you know, you can look online and see who's on the Senate Judiciary Committee, but in particular, if you're from, you know, Utah, Iowa, California, Vermont, Rhode Island, Minnesota, Texas, let's see, Nebraska, Idaho, Hawaii, North Carolina, those are senators from those states are members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we are going to be trying to make sure that every member of the Senate Judiciary Committee gets a visit from the FBA, from someone like you from that state. Well, great. Again, thanks, Maria and Ben, for your great insights. If you guys need to
go,
we understand. Thanks for being part of our talk today. We next want to turn to the actual policy priorities. Obviously, you show up and you're forging relationships, but most importantly, you're conveying information that is useful and helpful to them. And so to discuss that, if you can look at your materials, we have a draft FBA policy priorities list. And before I turn the time over to Bruce to talk briefly about that, I would encourage you, all of you, to read carefully through the packet, maybe on the plane ride out or before, so that you basically, as you are good lawyers, you can become advocates and understand the facts, understand the information you're going to be conveying, so you can be seen as someone who can speak intelligently on matters of the federal courts, on matters of their budgets, on things that we need to convey to the staff. So with that, if you'll look, I believe it's beginning on page of your packet, around page 13, you'll see the tentative public policy priorities. And I'll let Bruce go into some details, but basically they tend to be very focused in the same. We talk about funding, we talk about filling the vacancies and what we can do to help with that. We talk about the need to keep our permanent judges in place that are temporary, and this year we're adding at least two more things. One in particular is the potential need for new judgeships and the acts that are going to be submitted to have a new omnibus judicial act, which hasn't happened in over a quarter of a century. And to that, we talked about this at our national convention, the ability of the FBA to help convey, both solicit from senators and their staff and convey to them the processes that are used to nominate names and to have three names submitted to the president so that he can select one of those names for each state. And we'll talk a bit about that, because we have some information we might convey, but most importantly, we may rely on you to help us understand what each state does. And I'll give you a little bit of a warning already. I know for a fact that this administration might do things a little bit unorthodox if there have been committees in the past. I know of a state that now won't have a committee, or at least won't have the committee set up by the senators. It'll be set up by often members of Congress that are closely aligned with this particular administration. So be prepared for some pushback from senators saying, well, I don't know what this administration's up to. Your job will be to help bridge the gap, hopefully. So, and that ultimately will be our goal, is we want to bridge the gap for where there needs to be a gap bridged to make sure these nominees get through. So, Bruce, do you want to introduce our topics for this year?
Sure. Thank you, Wes. Our topics are relatively similar to those that we pursued last year, insofar as adequate funding for the courts. And by the way, we'll be providing you more talking points and background information on each of these subject areas in the next week. We expect more materials to be coming, particularly on the judgeship recommendations from the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts when it sends officially its request for judgeships up to the Hill next week. But it has already sent its requested budget for FY18 to the Hill, and we've included that on pages 15 to 17, basically a $7.2 billion request, representing almost a 4% increase in spending over the assumed FY2017 level. The greatest amount of our attention is going to be focused on that second issue, and that is judicial vacancies and the need for prompt action in filling them. We're at a historic high point right now with roughly 125 vacancies existing in the federal courts. Of those, about 114 of them are at the district court and appellate court level. Notwithstanding the fact that there were about 20 nominees ready to be confirmed at the final hour of the last Congress, they did not receive final approval from the Senate. which means that for the vacancies that they were to fill, as well as all other vacancies, there's been a reset by the administration and its instructions to all home state senators to review and redo their recommendations that they send to the president for nomination to vacancies. And with, of course, now control by the same party of the White House and the Senate, it means it will be a more Republican-dominated process than it was the last time around. Just as an example of that, although until yesterday, Judge Gorsuch was the only new nominee to an Article III post. Yesterday, the president named Judge Emil Sipar for a spot on the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. Judge Sipar is a different nominee than the same for the same slot that had been nominated by President Obama. That in and of itself reflects the degree to which the process has been reset, and there are going to be new nominees being named to vacancies that had nominees in the last Congress who had not yet cleared. And to that degree, if you'd like to know who those nominees were and to what extent the process had moved along to a certain degree, that's why we've included there on pages 28 through 33 of your packet, where it's the judicial vacancy list for January 2017, showing the names of 59 nominees. Those nominations expired on January 3rd, 2017, with conclusion of the 114th Congress. We provide that only as a guide to you as to the vacancies and where they were at that point. There may well be new nominees that are named by the president based upon the recommendations of the home state senators. We believe that this provides a real opportunity for chapters to be more engaged and at least in monitoring the process in their own states and circuits. And that's why we've included two things in your packet here that go to that. One, the report that West delivered to the Board of Directors this past weekend, as well as to the National Council, about the judicial vacancies and judicial nomination process, home state senator involvement, and how FBA chapters can assist and how the national can assist as these vacancies are filled. Then secondly, we've included a draft of a chart that we would like to continue to work on and ask for your help. And it's a separate attachment that was included in the email that went out today. We put this together rather quickly, excuse any of the typos, but this is the first draft that will, with your help, we will be able to better fill in as we better learn about the process in each state as to whether the home state senators rely upon a screening committee or an advisory committee, or whether the process is more informal and, shall we say, non-transparent. We'd like to try to prepare as thorough and comprehensive a chart on all 50 states as to the nature of the process that's being used and the state of play in each state as it refers to vacancies that exist. So please take a look at the chart, and please, if you would, help us update it as it refers to the process that exists in your state. Also, you'll see there in the package, we have Just as a kind of a placeholder here, it is not the very most current chart, but a chart of current judicial vacancies that reflected at that time 123 vacancies. Today there are actually 124. You can find this same material on the U.S. Courts website, uscourts.gov. If you click on judges and judgeships, you can pull up this same chart. But we ask you to be very familiar with the state of vacancies in your own district and in your own circuit, because we really want to devote our attention during the meetings with congressional staff, particularly Senate staff, on the state of play in filling vacancies within your own states. Finally, we will devote additional attention to additional judgeships pursuant to both the recommendations that the federal judiciary will have by the time of our meetings on the Hill, have sent to the Hill. We know that they announced last week their desire to establish 57 new judgeships that have to be approved, of course, by Congress. It's likely that Congress will first devote greater attention to filling vacancies before they establish additional judgeships, sort of a two-part process. But nonetheless, we want to start underscoring the need for additional judgeships, as well as the need to reauthorize temporary bankruptcy judgeships that otherwise, 19 of whom were set to expire on May 25th, only a month after we will be on the Hill for Capitol Hill Day. So we're going to be devoting a special attention to that. We've identified where those temporary judgeships are. They're bankruptcy judgeships in the paper that we've got there, our policy priorities piece, and you'll also be receiving additional information from us on those bankruptcy judgeships and some language that is expected to be included in the extension of congressional funding called the CR, the Continuing Resolution, that will be due to expire, will need to be re-extended near the end of April. So we'll be on the Hill at a very timely point with regard to promotion of that issue insofar as the extension of temporary bankruptcy judgeships. So those are the issues that we'll be covering.
Forgive me, Bruce, Brian Murphy, will we be addressing the immigration judge proposal at all?
No, we expect we will not be yet addressing the immigration court issue, Brian. We are developing the proposed legislation on that. We have a need to talk further with some of the stakeholders on that as well. And don't believe we're at a good point to raise that since the whole matter of immigration reform is not yet at a formative point of discussion on the Hill. So,
thank you.
We are interested in the issue. We just don't believe that the timing, as well as some of our own internal discussions, have quite ripened to the point for that.
Great. Any questions on the topics? Well, thanks for the comments, everyone, and Bruce, for that report. We're going to now turn to what we'll do next. And before I do that, I did want to give everyone a little blurb on judicial emergencies. For those that are new, you hear this term judicial emergencies, and I just wanted to have it defined for everyone once and for all so you know what that means. When we say there's, I think there's almost 50 or 48 judicial emergencies right now. The things, at least on the district court level, that make a judicial emergency, it's where the vacancies are such that the weighted filings are in excess of 600 per judge, or a vacancy that's been in existence for more than 18 months and where the weighted filings are between 430 to 600 per judge. And then there's one more category they added, which is I call the Rule in Idaho case, and that's where there's only one authorized judgeship or one active judge, but more than one authorized judgeship. So, for example, in Idaho, they have one or two judges active, but they need a few more. So Those are judicial emergencies, but basically it's around 600 over 600 cases of judge, you got an emergency. If it's approaching 600 and it's been over 18 months since there's been a judge filled or vacancy filled, you got an emergency. With that said, we'll now talk about what we should do next, and I guess I'll turn the time back over to Bruce one more time because he can go through the process. Again, you've seen how we try to have every state organize among themselves so that we do have one contingent of FBA leaders going to one office at a time. We absolutely focus on members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. If that's your state, be sure to get in there and talk with them. And we'll start scheduling really this week. This is the time. We're about three weeks out or so. So this is right at the time when you would reach out to your senators and members of Congress potentially to set these appointments. I think that's next, Bruce. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. Well, we provided there on page 5 of your packet a suggested email template for requesting a congressional meeting. We'd suggest that you try to schedule that through the scheduler in the respective office that you're contacting. To learn the name of the scheduler, simply call the lawmaker's office and secure the name and email of that lawmaker's staff member who handles either the lawmaker's scheduling or scheduling for the judiciary LA, or a legislative assistant on staff. And here's the suggested text that we suggested that you might consider using in trying to request the meeting. As West said, this is the opportune time right now to be beginning your scheduling. It's usually schedulers do not start to schedule meetings until they're about this point, at about 3 to 4 weeks out. So you're right at a perfect time now to begin to do this. It's not too early and it's not too late either. The second thing is for those who are from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, we are, as an association, over the coming weeks, going to be devoting more attention to the potential split of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We feel relatively certain that that is an issue that will arise in meetings of those from the Ninth Circuit, probably unlikely to arise in other circuits. We are through the Ninth Circuit VPs, going to be doing a call on April 4th with all Ninth Circuit chapters, encouraging chapters to continue the conversations with their judges and their chief judges as to their views on the Ninth Circuit split. I'm not sure whether FBA will have an official position by that point in time on the 20th of April. In the past, historically, the FBA has opposed splitting the Ninth Circuit, but we're not going to reach that position again or affirm that until we've done the due diligence with our chapters and have talked further with the GRC as well as the Board of Directors, of course, and sets policy for the association. So that is a bit of a unique issue there that's particular to the Ninth Circuit, but I wanted to give you all a heads up on that and to be attuned to that and the possibility of that arising in some meetings involving folks with chapters in the Ninth. And then lastly, as to these various subject matter issues, look for more material coming from headquarters in support of each of these issues so that you can be better informed and prepared before you arrive in Washington. I don't expect that we'll be doing another prep call between now and then, but certainly West and I are available for any particular questions that any of you may have as you dig into the substantive material further. And if you run into any scheduling problems, please feel free to get in touch with me, and I'll be happy to provide whatever assistance I can to be able to make your scheduling chores a little bit easier.
Great. Yes. Any other comments on the the policy priorities or the next steps, which is scheduling with your respective leaders. A couple last comments before we take final questions. Keep in mind what we've been doing here for the last decade or so. We're forging and building relationships of trust with your national legislators. As you know, they get all kinds of people, both bright and kooky, to come to their offices, and we want to make sure that they comprehend and begin to realize that when it comes to matters of the federal courts, every spring there's some lawyers that are going to come to their office from the Federal Bar Association, be informed, leave them relevant materials, and in time are the people that they can rely on. And that's why we want to take this next step this time by saying, look, we can help. We can bridge the gap. We can give you and show you what other states are doing when it comes to this process of nominations. We can solicit from you what you would like to do and basically, hopefully in time, become a resource. Okay. Any questions from all of you about letter writing, about making the appointments, about the policy issues, anything at all? Now's the time. And also, you can have emails to myself or Bruce, or Debbie's been very helpful, and National, Debbie and Jane as well.
Wes, okay. This is Jeff Cox. Are there any states that are not covered that you you and Bruce want to have covered that we can help out with?
Excellent question, and the short answer, I believe, is yes. Jane and Debbie were helping us see if we have coverage with this group now for all the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. You know, if you're from a state like Utah, we have a long-standing relationship with those senators. We definitely want to make sure we got coverage in places like that, where, in fact, Utah has two members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I haven't heard if we got someone from Minnesota. I want to make sure we got someone from Minnesota. But there are states where we may need assistance, or at least have you or us reach out to people from that state to get someone there. I don't know if you have that list already, Debbie or Jane, but there are a couple, I think.
Hi, this is Debbie. So we do have a few states. We have Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington, and Wisconsin.
So we have quite a few. We need, if you have friends in the FBA or otherwise, that, in the FBA from those states, perhaps you as committee members, or in this case GRC or GCA, or Capitol Hill Day participants, if you could help us identify those folks from those states, that would be excellent, because we're going to have to do that pretty soon. In fact, Debbie will talk about that maybe after this call. So keep in mind for those states. One more point I wanted to be sure to make to this group, and that is to have a person from your state reach out to your chief judge or chief judges, if, you know, however, if some districts have, you know, California, you got a lot of people all over from different parts of the state. But let them know that you are doing this. Let them know that you would be happy to take for them some, you know, it can't even be personal for the senators. We're going to stick to our message, but if you have something for your state that's straight from a chief judge, by all means, that's something that you can talk about. We just want to make sure the chief judges around the country are aware that this is happening. Most of them now know that this is something we kind of do generally, but it would be an excellent opportunity to help your chapters kind of build a relationship with your court by knowing we're going to be there exactly, you know, this date in April, and I'm going to be speaking with these three people. Is there anything you'd like me to pass along? That's always a good idea. Okay,
yeah, thank you for mentioning that, Wes. That's a terrific task to be sure to accomplish before you come to Washington, and then on the backside after you return to take the opportunity to give them an update on how your visits went and what you learned from those visits. And lastly, to underscore what Maria said at the top, you're going to enjoy this day. If this is the first time you've ever done this, please put aside any fears or concerns that you might have. As advocates, all of you are skilled in being able to present detailed information like this, but to do it in a succinct and conversational way.
And I think you're going to really not only fulfilled in through this experience, but also really really enjoy the experience that you have while you're on the hill that day.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. Hit those mute buttons, everyone. One last time, we're almost done here.
Okay. And why? If and when you do arrive.
Okay. Mute buttons, everyone.
Mute your line. Thanks. The right person. I don't know that any arrangements have been made yet. There is free parking.
All right. If you're hearing this, please, there's one person that has their mute off. Be sure to hit your mute button on. We're getting a lot of feedback.
But I don't know.
Anything, Gabby, anything from you or from Jane?
Nope.
If you talk to anybody, see if I can.
Wes, I have a question from Florida.
Go ahead, Florida.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike McLeod from South Florida. And I have a former law partner who's a magistrate down here. If he asked me, I haven't told him that I was doing this, but if he has questions or topics, is that appropriate? Or do they have to come from the chief judge?
No, you can certainly talk to anyone who's a judge and hear what they have to say. Be mindful that a magistrate judge may have a particular issue that might not be what we need to talk about in this context, but your chief is the one who would speak on behalf of your court, so that's the issue that they know that they would like to have presented to the senators.
Okay.
Good question. Well, I think we've covered all of our topics. Bruce, anything else that you know or think of?
No, thank you.
All right, any last questions? I believe, are we going to have another conference call before the next meeting, or is this it until we have our meeting?
I think this will be it.
All right, very good. I did want to mention one more time for those that didn't catch on, we do, thanks to Steve Miller and DC Chapter, there is this opportunity. We don't make it the focus because you'll be busy at meeting on Capitol Hill, but for those who have an interest and can work it into your schedule, be sure to email back to Debbie or Jane, probably Debbie, that you will participate in that Supreme Court meeting. The Supreme Court of the United States, if you are there about 1:30, you'll have a chance to quickly hear about the court. And then at 2 o'clock, there's a short meeting with the clerk of the court for FBA members. And
Best Brian Murphy, thank you. Steve Miller just asked me if you were going to mention it. Thank you for doing that.
Yes, I want to make sure, Steve. Thank you, Steve, again, for helping us out. But that is another thing that we can do on Capitol Hill Day. In the future, we'll probably have this be a little more incorporated. We actually may even eventually meet at for a set reception at the end of the day. That's something we're working on perhaps down the line. But for this Capitol Hill Day at 2 o'clock, even if you can't go to the little docent meeting, if you've done that before, you don't have to go to that. If you could be in the West Conference Room, that is where we're going to be at 2 o'clock with some people will be at 2 o'clock meeting Clerk Harris of the Supreme Court. And that's up at the Grand Hall upstairs, or actually to the main floor of the Supreme Court, just to the side off of where the courtroom is straight ahead. Okay, that's all we've got. Thanks for taking about 50 minutes here for this. We look forward to seeing each of you again. If you can be sure to be there on time, we'll see you at 8 o'clock or by 9 o'clock at 325 Russell on April 20th, and we'll have a great Capitol Hill Day. Thanks,
everyone. Thank you very much.
Until then.
This is Rob from the Second Circuit.
Yeah, Rob.
Just wanted to let you know, as far as Connecticut and Vermont are concerned, in the past, we have covered those senators out of New York.
Very good. If we can do that again, that's great. We just want to make sure we don't double dip there if we got someone from those states, but that would be excellent because Connecticut in particular, some senators that are the senator from Connecticut is a fantastic person to go visit. It was his hearing that we testified to back in 2013 or 2012. All right. Jay, Debbie, did you guys hang